sure you know our guest from his many years writing for the Register Guard, then north to the Oregonian, then north again to Seattle. At this pace, he'll be writing for the Alaska Dispatch. But seriously, doing his thing for the Seattle Times. Follow along on Twitter. The handle @_Jude. Adam Jude, how's life?
Dannon, I'm doing great, man. How are you?
All is well. I want to get to something that you wrote about 10 or 12 days ago. It's an astonishing story. Darren Harris, the Husky who in week two, 9 years ago, suffered a horrific injury against BYU. He was on defense covering Dennis Pitta of BYU. So for folks who missed it, I'm sure folks remember it. You know, what happened next and, you know, how was his life changed in that instant?
Yeah, wow, quite a story, Steve. Yeah, it's you know, interesting time, you know, for football. Obviously, so much awareness and media attention on concussions these days. And Darren Harris is a former Husky safety who, you know, is really been through the worst of it in his life. Obviously, his football career was over immediately after that injury. And you know, in a lot of ways, he could have died there on the field. I know. He said doctors had told him he was a miracle. It was a miracle that he survived. And for me, he's kind of he really is an inspiration just on the way he's been able to manage his injury. It's a traumatic brain injury that he's living with, and you know, he still goes through bouts of serious depression and really battled that for years as a result of the traumatic brain injury. You know, he's attempted suicide. He's just had so many things going through his life, and at a time, obviously, in your 20s, when everyone's just sort of trying to figure out who you are and what you want to do anyway, and he's also trying to manage with this serious debilitating injury. So, yeah, it was a nice opportunity for me. I'm very appreciative of him for sharing his story and his life, and again, he's an inspiration in that. You know, he's gone on to become the president of the local chapter of the Brain Injury Alliance. He wants to help other people that have gone through a traumatic brain injury, too, because in a lot of ways it really is a silent epidemic because people don't, you know, want to talk about it or don't know how to talk about it. And so Darren's really been out there kind of at the front line helping people kind of cope with it and deal with it and really raise awareness about it. And it's been a great thing up here in Seattle, and I was really felt fortunate to be able to share Darren's story.
Yeah, folks, a lot more to the story. You can go to the SeattleTimes.com archive at Adam's story on Darren Harris. Let's get to this Washington team. You knew coming in the secondary, you know, would be a work in progress. They lost three great players to the NFL draft. You know, you had the Buda Baker gone, the corners, Miles Brandt, the sophomore, played in 11 games last year. Jordan Miller has played every game since he walked on campus. Then they lost him for the year at ASU. So, you know, who's going to take his spot, and how big a blow was that to the DBs?
Yeah, it was a significant blow. The Huskies have been hit with some injuries this year. That's the one thing last year in the run to the Pac-12 championship, you know, they were pretty fortunate. Obviously, they had a couple of season-ending injuries, but you know, you expect those for every team every year. This year, the Huskies have gotten hit pretty hard. They lost three starters, essentially starters on offense already, including their first-team All Pac-12 left tackle and Trey Adams, and then both of their top two starting cornerbacks are out. You mentioned Jordan Miller there; he's out for the season with a broken ankle, and then Byron Murphy, who is a rising star, is a redshirt freshman. Maybe the best overall athlete on the team. He had two interceptions in his very first game against Rutgers to start the season, had a great first month, and then he broke a foot. He's week to week here. It was initially diagnosed as a 6-week injury, I was told, and we're right about the 6-week mark here. Chris Peterson teased earlier this week that Byron Murphy is getting closer to coming back. I don't know if he's going to be able to come back against Oregon on Saturday. It could be a 50-50 sort of proposition, but you know, they seem to do just okay without their top two cornerbacks last week against Josh Rosen and a pretty good UCLA offense. They allowed their first passing touchdown of the season against the Pac-12 team. They're tied with Alabama for fewest touchdowns allowed in the country with 8-8 games. So even with those losses you mentioned, both the injury this season and the losses to the NFL in the secondary, this defense is every bit as good as it was last year, and that's in large part because of the front seven. Vita Vea is going to be a first-round pick. Greg Gaines, a defensive tackle, might also be a surprising first-round pick. Those two might be the best two defensive tackles in the Pac-12, and they really anchor that front seven. They've been able to get after quarterbacks and stop the run. And I think it's a really cool, fun, interesting matchup here going into Saturday. With we know Oregon loves to run the ball, and the Huskies are really good at stopping the run. So it's strength versus strength, and I think that's going to be a great matchup Saturday night.
Talking with Adam Jude of the Seattle Times. On the other side of the ball, now I've watched a bunch of Washington this year, and so they're heading to Tempe and ASU. And, you know, the Sun Devil defense better than last year, but they were awful last year. But UW manages 230 total yards. I know they missed two chippy field goals. They didn't score until about 5.5 minutes left. You were there. What did you see, or what did the coaches say that went so haywire offensively down there?
Yeah, the UW offense was just completely unrecognizable that night. For whatever reason, Arizona State, Todd Graham, they've had Jake Browning's numbers each of the last three seasons. Up here in Seattle last year, it was a blowout win for the Huskies over ASU. But even then, Browning only had, you know, just sort of so-so numbers in what was otherwise obviously a terrific season for him. You know, he has his worst numbers against any Pac-12 team against Arizona State. And again, they really confounded him down in Tempe a few weeks ago. You know, they couldn't run the ball, which means obviously the defense can bring extra pressure on the quarterback, and knowing that he's going to pass, and even those times where Arizona State only rushed, say, three defenders, they were really aggressive, really physical with the Huskies' wide receivers. They weren't able to create separation, weren't able to get open, and yeah, it was just a confusing night all around for that UW offense. Again, it didn't help that, you know, they put a freshman kicker in there trying to fix their kicking game, and he missed two chip shots, like you said. But, you know, Washington's defense did everything you would expect to win the game. The Huskies' offense just need to figure it out. Again, part of that, they did lose, you know, their starting left tackle early in that game. There looked like there was some cute confusion up front. Looks like they kind of had a chance to settle down last week after the bye week at UCLA and sort of fix some things. So we'll see if they're able to continue that against Oregon here. But I think a big part of that was just kind of reestablishing that ground game with Miles Gaskin to take some pressure off Jake Browning.
Yeah, I want to kind of piggy on that. The offensive line, who's only allowed 11 sacks, they've had some dominating games. You know, they brought back both tackles and the center from last year. Both guards who left were replaced by two guys, Nick Harris, Jesse Sosby, actually played a lot. And then, like you said, Trey Adams, their stud left tackle, goes down. The O-line coach Scott Huff is new. What's he saying about maybe Andrew Kirkland stepping in? And right now, the overall kind of status of where this line is at?
Yeah, I think they feel okay about where they're at. Again, anytime you lose your All Pac-12 first team left tackle, a guy a lot of people think is going to be a first-round NFL draft pick, and Trey Adams, and he's 6'8", 330 pounds. He's just a monster up there. And he's been Jake Browning's left tackle since they were both true freshmen a couple years ago. So, to me, Trey Adams is their second most irreplaceable guy on this entire roster. So, you know, again, they don't really have anyone on the roster that can replace him. It's a job share right now with, like you said, a guy in Andrew Kirkland, a Portland kid out of Jesuit High School. He played well enough against UCLA last week, and then they have a redshirt freshman named Luke Wattenberg in there as well. So they're doing the best they can. It's kind of patchwork right now. Obviously, they ran for 333 yards against UCLA, and maybe a bit of a caveat there in that UCLA is the worst rushing defense in maybe the history of the Pac-12. But, you know, again, they got the job done last week. They, you know, they kept Jake Browning clean. It was a nice bounce-back performance for them. So we'll see. I expect Oregon. We know they're a much improved defense this year. Jim Levitt's done a great job, and I know the Huskies up here are expecting a pretty tough test for sure.
A couple final thoughts for Adam Jude of the Seattle Times. The receiving core, and again, a few weeks in, Chico McClatcher breaks his ankle. We know Pettis is just electrifying. But Quinton Pounds, Aaron Fuller, Braden Linnaeus, I know ex-Duck coach Matt Lubick is the receiver coach. Safe to say maybe looking for more consistent production from the guys beyond Pettis?
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. That's a polite way to put it. You know, and again, part of that, they lose Chico McClatcher, their second leading receiver, and then this week they lose a true freshman tight end, Hunter Bryant, who is their second leading receiver. He's probably out for the year with a leg injury as well. So the guys who had been stepping up or who, you know, you expect to emerge there right behind Dante Pettis, they keep going down, too. It's like I said, the injury bug has hit this team a little bit. You know, they've been trying to get their tight ends a little bit more involved, but there are some question marks at wide receiver beyond Dante Pettis. So Pettis knows that, you know, he's going to get double teamed. There's always going to be help with the safety over the top, whichever side of the field he's at. So they need some of those other younger wide receivers to emerge. And again, they've just kind of been both ineffective and injured this season too. So to me, that's one of the more maybe the biggest question mark about this team in the final month of the season. Can they get that passing game going? Can they specifically get the downfield passing game going? We know how good that was last year with both Pettis and John Ross, and it's really been inconsistent this year.
Lastly, Adam, I always like to get the buzz. You wrote about how some of the guys view or don't view this rivalry. It's kind of with Justin Herbert to play or not to play. What are the Washington coaches and players maybe thinking about this Duck team they're facing, as opposed to maybe the one they abused here last year by 7 touchdowns?
Yeah, they've taken an interesting tack this week and they've kind of followed the script of Chris Peterson and his MO throughout his tenure here at UW, and just that in a lot of ways it was like what Chip Kelly would always say about the rivalry games too, you know, kind of faceless opponents, just another game, just another team, which obviously as a media guy you sort of roll your eyes, you want some controversial statements, you want some buzz about the rivalry and about the team. But I get it too, obviously. They don't need to rile up the opponent any more than they want to. Again, that the players know how much it means to the fans. They know how big a deal, you know, 70-21 was down in Eugene last year to end the streak. They know that was important for the fans, that they don't have to talk about the streak anymore and all that good stuff. But they're also not reveling in 70-21 either. It's kind of been the Huskies' motto all year. This is a new year. New team, whatever they did last year doesn't matter right now. So I think that's probably the smart approach for them inside their locker room. But at the same time, I think we all know that they're going to be pretty fired up Saturday night. They know that, you know, a win over Oregon means just a little bit more to the fan base here, and obviously vice versa for the fans down there in Oregon. So I think it's going to be rocking in Husky Stadium Saturday night. I know a lot of people from Oregon are coming up too, and I think it should be a fun one.
He is Adam Jude, @_Jude on Twitter, SeattleTimes.com. Great insight, great information. Adam, hope you and your ever-growing family are exceptionally well. I appreciate your time, and it's always great catching up.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, take it easy.